The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "If the world hates you, realize that it hated me before. If the world hates you, realize that it hated me first. If you belonged to the world would love its own. But because you do not belong to the world, and I have chosen you out of the world hates you. Remember the word I spoke to you. No slave is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. And they will do all these things to you on account of my name, because they do not know the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord. That's a trickier gospel passage than I thought. It's a great gospel passage, and it is a tricky gospel passage, because I think that it's another part of this this dialogue with Jesus before his coming execution. It's part of the farewell discourse of John's gospel, it's quite hard for us to understand, like living after Jesus's death and resurrection, and trying in this time of Easter to make sense of this in light of life before his ascension and then the sending of the Spirit. But I'm not gonna try to do all of that stuff. I want to look at this and give a couple words that I think matter. The passage also is ripe for eisegesis. You know, I've said that before, like reading ourselves and our own context into the text and having it answer questions that it's not speaking to. Anyway, let me do it, okay? We take this, if the world hates you, realize that it hated me first. If you belong to the world would love its own, and this kind of thing. And we think then, well, yeah, of course, right? This is why everybody hates me, do you know? Because I'm following Jesus. We think this like, okay, so there's this antagonism set up between the church and the world. This passage tends to justify us in that belief. Like, this is an act of, I will say, this is an act of self-justification on our part to believe ourselves persecuted, to believe that the world is out to get us and the rest. But here's the challenge. It's not exactly what Jesus is saying. It's not exactly what he's saying. So there's not here a hard division of, say, there is a hard division of church and world, but it's very different than the one that we tend to think it is. Because here Jesus is there an us and them? There is. And Jesus is saying, you're not of the world. You're not of the world. But you are decisively for the world. This is the same exact thing as Jesus talking about his kingdom. He says his kingdom is not of the world. My kingdom is not of the world. But it is for the world. When we understand that, let me double down on it. If then there is us and them, if there are two camps, us and them, Jesus has called the us to serve the them. So if there is that distinction, and it appears as though there is, that's where it matters. Jesus has called us to himself. He has set us free from our self-concern and our self-seeking to advance God's purposes and his agenda in and for the world, to serve them, whatever that is going to mean for us. I mean, it means a lot. This is part of the charter of the church. We live to bring God's world to life by the power of his Holy Spirit. So we have this. This is what's going on in the passage. Okay, now we realize just how necessarily consoling Jesus' words are. Right, that this is the persecution of the followers simply follows on from their participation in Jesus' own life, and say participates also in Jesus' being persecuted and being rejected. And Jesus is the love of God in the flesh. Right, so Jesus is that perfect example of the us serving the them. And he's persecuted for it. So this is it. It's like, and in the setup that Jesus gives his disciples here, their chief concern is to keep their eyes, their hearts fixed on Jesus. And to not worry about what's coming, even though persecution is likely to come. But they have to keep their eyes fixed on Jesus. Why? Because as soon as you take your eyes off of Jesus and start thinking about the ways that you're going to be persecuted or the ways that you think you are persecuted, you lose track of everything. You lose sense of everything. Then you start thinking in the category of them versus us in terms of primarily the danger that they pose to us. Then we are going to start living in a way to protect our own interests. It's not the way that God intends it to be. And you may get a sense as I pick away at this, that this is kind of scary. This is a scary way to live. What do you mean I'm not going to protect my own interests? No, you're not going to. We are not going to. We are going to give ourselves away in love. We're going to give everything we have and everything we are to God and in service of him to the world, recklessly. Because all that matters is that we live out our lives as friends of Jesus. We live out our lives as sons and daughters of God. So we have to go the way that he went and the way that he continues to strengthen and inspire us to go. That's the point. So we have to keep our eyes and our hearts focused on Jesus. And then it doesn't matter what comes our way, because it's all blessing. When we give our lives over to God, the rest of our life is blessing, because we get to embody his blessing for the world. And again, we can hear just how horrible it is that the world would persecute us, because we're nothing other than love for the world. The same for Jesus, though, right? This is the gravest act of injustice that the world has ever seen, the crucifixion of Jesus. And he was love, totally, right? Nothing. He was nothing other than love for the world. That's also God's greatest victory. And as Christians, we live in that tension. The challenge is when Jesus is saying, I've called you out of the world, we have to think of whether or not we've come. Roots and all. Do we still look around and compare ourselves to everybody else who is of the world, whose only successes are money, power, pleasure, and all the rest? Or have we come roots and all, so that our hearts and our lives are totally trained on Jesus? And we don't care about, why would we care about that stuff? It's not what we live for. We live for Jesus. We live for God alone. And then, as I said, it doesn't matter what comes our way. And sometimes when we're giving ourselves in love, it's easier to be persecuted. Because you're not going to go off track. You know what you're doing and you're facing opposition. You're not going to go off track. But when you're celebrated, and you get a taste for it, you might start to compromise a little bit. Do you know, this is the way it is. So that's why I say whatever comes our way is blessing. But it's ours to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, our hearts and our minds trained on God and his purposes, advancing his purposes in the world. And those purposes are nothing other than love. So here we are again at the Eucharistic table. Right? Jesus offered himself to the Father and for the sake of the world. And we offer ourselves along with him. And receiving his own body and blood, we can be his very body in the world that so desperately needs it.